This is the Nightly News Show. Join Jay the Man and the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Ranks on the Disclosure Media Network.
Testing a new system out that we got here. I hope everything is coming in loud and clear for everyone. And it looks like I've got the wrong graphic up on the YouTube. Well, hello and good evening to those of you listening on our live streams from YouTube, Ustream, TuneIn, and of course all of you that download our podcast on iTunes and Podomatic. And now we're on SoundCloud and Spreaker. This is the Nightly News Podcast. I'm Jason, and also along for the ride is Rags.
Yo!
There he is. Also, folks, don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube by going to youtube.disclosuremedia.net. You can join our channel there. Also, you can find us on facebook.com/disclosuremedia. You can also find us on Twitter. I always say Twitterer. I don't know what it is with that, Rags. You can find us on Twitter, and you can find us on other social media places out there. We're on Google Plus and everything. Tonight, folks, it's Wednesday, April 1st, 2015. So we got a lot of things on the docket today that we're going to discuss. There's been a lot of news headlines out there, and we're going to get to all of them here just shortly. Rags, how does everything sound on your end, audio-wise? Everything good?
You sound fantastic on my end.
All right. I think I hear the hum on my end, but I think only I can hear that. No one, it doesn't come up on the recording, so I think it's just my headphones, and there's some hum. So I'm not concerned about that as far as you folks out there. You can't hear it.
Well, still April Fool's Day, right?
It is April Fool's. It still is for the next 57 minutes. I'm just trying to get myself situated here in the office, and it's been a busy day, and I've had a lot going on myself. The weather and that hum in my ear is just going to drive me nuts. So give me just one second while I try to maneuver this and still be able to talk to you at the same time. I've got a transmitter here, folks, and it kind of interferes with my headphone, so I think that did it. That took it away. All right, hum is now gone. No more humming in my ear. So like I was saying, it's been a busy, busy news day. Some good things have hit the wire. Of course, the Indiana thing is still pretty big in the news. Rags has a story on that here in a little bit. We're also going to be talking about what's going on with Iran. I think we have that in our news topics, possibly. I'm not really sure. Let's see, what else? ISIS, of course. We have an ISIS update. And, of course, I think the biggest, I don't know if it's the biggest news story today, but one of the biggest is Senator Bob Menendez was indicted on federal corruption charges. Now, if you remember, this senator pretty much went against the Obama administration. He is a Democrat. He went against the Obama administration with this Iran deal. And so I guess now maybe this has something to do with it. A defiant Senator Bob Menendez vowed to fight the corruption charges handed down against him on Wednesday, declaring, quote, "I'm not going anywhere." In a roughly 8-minute statement at a hotel ballroom here, Menendez said, Justice Department prosecutors who pursued the corruption allegations stemming from his friendship with wealthy donor Salman Melgen were, quote, "dead wrong" in that he was confident he would ultimately be vindicated. "I'm angry and I'm ready to fight because today contradicts my public service." What? Yeah, contradicts my public service. Man, I got too many things going on at once. I'm trying to make sure the audio is coming in clear for you. Anyway, he said he was pretty pissed off because, you know, he's been a public service in his career his whole life. He said during his brief remarks delivered in both English and Spanish, "I'm angry because prosecutors at the Justice Department don't know the difference between friendship and corruption and have chosen to twist my duties as a senator and my friendship into something that is improper." Sir Rags, do you think this is just a hit piece because he went against the administration?
Well, sure. I mean, anything to do with it. I'm still trying to understand, what is it exactly that he was has corruption charges for?
Well, I don't know. I guess he's friends with someone. I'm looking through the story, and in this story here, it doesn't say where the corruption charges stem from, other than the allegations stemming from his friendship with a wealthy donor. So maybe he's good friends with someone who likes to donate. And
sounds like I publicly complained about illegal financial dealings in my city until the FBI investigated and the U.S. attorney filed corruption charges against the mayor and others. So I was to testify for prosecutions. I received death. I wore bulletproof breath for a month. So somehow there is something to do with finances and financial. But now remember, Governor Chris Christie was also accused of stuff. So let's see how this pans out. But yeah, I'm not going to put anything. The Clintons did this all the time. Back
in
the 90s?
Yeah.
Oh, the Clintons.
Yep.
The Clintons did it all the time. If you didn't, you weren't on their side, Democrat, boom. They toasted you.
You know, they've got dirt on everyone, it seems like. You know, if you screw up in politics and you don't toe the ball and chain, you know, they just take you out.
Pretty much.
Well, what do you got up on your docket, man?
Let's see. We'll start out with. I have to go back up here and take a look. We got, well, obviously the other big news, I think, today, which is I've been on most of the websites for the first time in history, and you can get this at disclosuremedia.net. It's on the front page. First time in history, Cali announces mandatory water restrictions. That's right, California. So California orders unprecedented water restrictions amid lowest snowpack ever recorded. In an unprecedented move, California Governor Jerry Brown has issued his historic statewide water restriction plan after new measurements showed the lowest snowpack in state history.
Wow.
Standing in an area of the Sierra Nevada that is usually covered with snow, the governor announced that his new executive order will save water, streamline drought response, prevent wasteful use, and invest in new technologies. Quote, he says, "Today we are standing on dry glass where there should be 5 feet of snow. This historic drought demands unprecedented action," said Governor Brown. "Therefore, I'm issuing an executive order mandating substantial water reductions across our state. As Californians, we must pull together and save water in every possible way." Interestingly, the new executive order essentially ignores the agriculture industry, despite the fact that the industry is sucking the state dry. Meteorologist Eric Holthus, writing in The Slate, highlighted this absurdity. Though California's agricultural industry is also feeling the drought's pinch, hundreds and thousands of acres of farmland have gone unsown and thousands of jobs have been lost in the last year. The industry is still mostly getting its way. This way, almond farming is using more water than ever, about 11% of the state supply devoted to agriculture, while lobbying to weaken groundwater legislation. Once devoid of water, depleted aquifers frequently collapse, resulting in sinking ground levels and permanent reduction of water storage capacity. So here's some of the plans in here that he's got. So the elements of the plans as follows. So they want to replace up to 50 million square feet of lawns through the state with drought tolerant landscaping.
Well, my state, they got rid of the mediums, you know, where they'd have trees and flowers.
Yeah,
they're not there.
It's
concrete, or it's either concrete or it's bricks.
Yep. So that's what they're going to do here. 50 million square feet of lawn will replace. They're going to require cemeteries and golf courses to reduce water usage. They will require new homes have a water efficient drip irrigation if potable water used for landscaping is planned. They're going to ban the watering of ornamental grass on public streets. They will create a statewide program to replace all old appliances with more water efficient ones. So let me get you this. Okay, and they're going to force the agriculture industry to report water usage information to the state, which the industry so far has largely ignored. So get this, Jay. So on top of requiring new homes to have water efficient drip irrigation, right, for potable water. And then also creating a statewide program to replace old appliances. Just in these two things alone, how long do you think that will get going before that's even done?
Who knows when everyone's
sometimes
dead.
In the next 2 years?
It's not going to help anything now.
No, it's not going to help anything by the summer. I mean, new homes are planning.
Said they'd be out of water in a year.
Oh, my gosh. This is just crazy.
I don't think there's anything you can do if you're that close to the edge, really, can you? I mean, if you're a year from out of water, what can you do with that many people?
I don't know. They got the most out of any state.
Exactly. And they're a year without, they got a year of water.
47, is it 47 million? I can't remember California's.
Bunch of
liberals. I don't think it's 47 million, but I can't remember California's population is. As I'm Googling.
Google. Gotta love Google.
You gotta, you know. So that's about 38 million people as of 2013.
So what can you do to make sure those 38 people got water the next year if you're only got a year left? I just don't know what you could possibly do. Just stop everything. Stop everything, what you're doing. No more water. I mean, that's going to have effects across the world, I would think, as far as produce and stuff like that, yeah?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest thing is the farming itself. But then again, is what you're not seeing here. See, a lot of these farmers are selling their wells to corporations. So they're selling their water rights.
Now, I've heard they're selling that before. They're selling it why they can, is from what I understand.
Yeah, well, because they're getting top dollar. Right, well, they're getting more than putting plants in the ground.
Right. And they're concerned that they're not going to have access to that water here shortly.
Exactly. That's the other reason, too. They may not have access to
it. So they're saying, hell with it. Here, I'll sell you all I got for top dollar and just get the hell out of here.
So it's, as this goes on, we'll get to, obviously, in the next year, we'll know how it's going there, but. But we already know in the last couple of years, it's not going good for there in Nevada as well. Lake Mead's at historic lows as well. So it's going to be interesting to watch the west southwest here of America and see how it goes.
Yeah.
So that's definitely. All I got for my first one there.
All right. Well, here's I got an ISIS update, a little ISIS update for all you ISIS fans out there.
Ice baby. We need to have a theme song. Ice. I don't know.
People are going to think we like these people or something. We do not like ISIS, okay? Just an ISIS update, folks. ISIS seizes new territory. They got some new land. In Syria. Now, this is so funny. It's ISIS in the headline, but then you go to the story. The Islamic State militants in Syria have seized new territory on multiple fronts in recent days, killing dozens of citizens or civilians in the central province of Hama. Residents there said, and advancing on Wednesday into the chaotic Yarmouk district on the southern edge of Damascus. Damascus. I think that's how it's said. Damascus.
Yes.
Okay.
Damascus.
The advances reasserted the extremist group power just days after insurgent groups, including its rival, the Nusra Front, a branch of Al-Qaeda. Even Al-Qaeda thinks these guys are fucking crazy, so that has to tell you something.
I know. Doesn't that tell you something? When Al-Qaeda says, this is messed up.
Yeah, these guys are, we don't want nothing to do with these guys. It tells you. So, anyway, they seized the northern city of Idba. The second providential capital to fall completely out of government control in Syria's four-year conflict. I just wanted to throw something out there. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but when I was working for the Raw Feed, I was in contact when the shit hit the fan in Syria, 4 years ago, it was 3 years when this incident that I'm about to bring up. But I was in contact with a guy in Syria who was sending me, he was the not pro Syria, but he was the opposition force, and he was sending me footage of all the attacks, the bombing, and he was sending me these direct videos. Well, I've got a program on my computer that monitors the incoming connections, and it tells me who's out there and who's tapping into my internet feed or data, whatever you want to look at it. And it was the Department of Defense. The DOD was actually, I don't know if my traffic was being rerouted through their system, because obviously I was talking to a terrorist probably, on Skype, and, you know, he was sending me these videos. So that was just another curious thing that happened to me while I was covering the Siri incident when it first took place. I don't know if I ever told you that.
No, I did not know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did some research on the IP that, you know, that it came through, and it was a DOD IP. And I guess it's a facility up north that, from what I understand, if you're put on a list or if they're watching your line, your data gets rerouted through there first. So, yeah.
So it's like Big Brother's watching you.
You know, you got to be careful who you talk to. And I ceased my communications with that guy. Not because of that reason in particular. But, I didn't know really who I was dealing with. And I'm getting these videos that were horrific. And one video was a kid's jaw had been ripped off. I don't know if you've seen that. It's just horrible. A rocket-propelled grenade ripped his jaw off. And he was still alive, rags.
Yeah.
It was just horrible. He didn't live, of course, but...
Yeah, I mean, these bastards of, you know, again, you know, just like we said, even Al Qaeda doesn't like these guys. You know, I was going to say, I'll bring this up to coincide with your story. You know, here I've got the one, because it does coincide, because, you know, ISIS's little brother, Boko Haram.
Yep.
Just reported today. This is from from RT.com. Boko Haram uses children as human bombs.
Jeez.
Quote unquote, expendable. Cat and fodder. This is from the UN chief, it said. RT.com published today. Boko Haram has been using children as human bombs and expendable cannon fodder in its horrendous terrorist activities, as well as enslaving girls and women. One UN official has reported to the UNHRC. Bodies of children around 12 years old have been found strewn across such battlefields. The United Nations Human Rights Chief Zeid Ra'ad Al Hussein said at the UN Human Rights Council session in Geneva. Zeid told the council that his knowledge was based on reports about Boko Haram's using children as first line of attack as expendable cannon fodder that his office received. The group also reportedly used young children as human bombs, including the case of a 14-year-old girl carrying a baby on her back who detonated a bomb in a marketplace, Zeid said. He went on to say that abductions of both children and adults have been happening on a massive scale. Citing reports from witnesses and survivors, Zeid said that women and girls have been enslaved and subject to sexual violence, forced labor, and compulsory conversation. Boko Haram militants killed their so-called wives, women, and girls they held as slaves and other captives while retreating as military offensives by Nigeria and its neighbors advanced, UN Human Rights Chief said. So these...
They're nuts.
It's not just nuts. It's, I mean, I look at else what we're doing around the world. I mean, I just give me an army. I'll go over there and fight them. I know I can get 25,000 people go there and kill them.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I
don't know what the problem is.
25 ex-military from around the world. You just give me the money and the means, and we will go over there and we will kill these bastards.
Well, I mean, just look, you have ex-military signing up to go fight in Iraq to help the Iraqis.
I mean, this is just, and especially this, it's basically genocide. You know, here we talked about this is genocide, what they've been doing over there in
ISIS,
Africa.
That's what the ISIS has been doing in Iraq. They're eliminating... The future generations.
Yes.
That's what they're doing.
This is just... It's just... I don't know. I know. It's hard for me to say words because I get upset knowing what's going on and how they portray this. And I just hope anybody listening and anybody that's listening, I mean, talk to your friends about it. Say something. Mention something about it. I mean, this is just... We just can't let stuff like this go on. It's just BS. But so... To add to your ISIS update, well, there's ISIS Junior's update, but not a very good ISIS.
The JV team.
Yeah, the JV team.
Obama, that's what Obama would say. That's the JV team.
Yeah, I call them bastards.
Damn bastards. All right, folks, so we're coming up here on just a short break we're going to take. And we're just going to take a short one-minute break, folks. And we'll be back in just one short minute. So, get you something to drink and come back real quick. We'll see you in 60 seconds.
The warning signs.
First, he made me feel special.
He promised he'd look after me, provide for my future. He broke every promise he made.
Millions of Americans afflicted.
I was ready to leave, but he told me he'd change. So I gave him another chance. I was such a fool.
The consequences.
Things only got worse. He started making my decisions for me. About my job, my kids' education, my money, my safety, my future. He took away my choices, but I kept going back to the same politicians.
The diagnosis? Battered voter syndrome.
I fell for the same old lies. They were just playing with my emotions, telling me what I wanted to hear. That's not right.
Stop the insanity of voting for the same old abusers. Declare your independence from the two-party system and join the New Hampshire Liberty Party today at nhliberty.info.
The truth is, I'm not really sure what happened.
If you came to prove, there's no reason to prove.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're coming back here for our next segment of stories.
What's this one again, Jay?
This is Here If You're Going.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so another one of our favorite tunes, and that's Otis McDonald. If you're just curious on who that is, he's a guy that's on YouTube and puts out a bunch of free music for folks. So before our break, we were talking about ISIS, doing our ISIS update. Let's switch it up a little bit, and we're going to...
I mean, ISIS bastards. I wish Inglorious Bastards was real, and then we can get the bear. We can get those guys that were going out there killing Nazis to go kill them.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
What was that? What were those guys called?
Were machine guns.
There, exactly.
Was that too loud? I tried to get these.
No, it sounded fine on my end.
Great. I think it was good on everyone else's end. Anyway, we're gonna switch gears here, and I found this story here. My second story, rags from the top, I think is what it is. I found it interesting because I didn't know. I guess it's the third story there, Rags. I didn't know companies could actually do this, but the SEC fires a warning shot about confidentiality agreements, a sound that delights regulators and strikes fear in corporations. Employees blowing the whistle on wrongdoing is poised to become even louder. On Wednesday, the Securities and Exchange Commission penalized the technology and engineering firm KBR for forcing employees to sign, quote, restrictive confidentiality agreements that regulators first such action against a company suspected of stifling potential whistleblowers. The SEC has escalated enforcement of its whistleblower protection as part of an effort by the agency to turn a historic sore spot into an advantage. After missing warning signs about Bernard Madoff's Ponzi scheme, you all remember that one, right? The SEC created a whistleblower program and vowed to punish companies that muzzle potential tipsters by requiring its employees and former employees to sign confidential agreements, imposing pre-notification requirements before contacting the SEC. Potentially discouraged employees from reporting securities violations to us. So that was pretty interesting. That's what I didn't know, that a company could make you sign a confidentiality agreement and then say, oh yeah, by the way, if you are going to snitch us out, you have to tell us first.
Oh, there's a confidentiality agreements are in everywhere. There's businesses.
No,
I
understand that part, but the part that where they're making you sign and say, oh, you have to give us a pre-notification, isn't that that's just discouraging them from even saying anything, right?
Well, if you know, here's the thing. It's all how you argue it in court. So here's the thing. As long as you're being upfront and you're basically telling them, listen, you're going to come work for us, but we're just telling you right now that you're signing away your rights is what they're trying to get you to do. Now, and that's just the bottom line. They're just trying to get you to acknowledge that you are signing away your rights. And that will win in some cases because it's what it says is that it's a two-parter. It says in this confidentiality agreement, we are by telling you, you have no recourse. Do you understand this? You say yes. Do you understand that by signing this, that you're also agreeing that you must notify us before taking any actions? Yes. Now, in some cases, that does stand up in some courts. Not every court. Just saying, there's been confidentiality agreements that have set up in courts. So,
but if you signed a confidential agreement and then were a whistleblower, could they come back after you for that?
Now, that's where it gets tricky.
Because if you come out and you say, "Hey, look, these guys are doing this," but you just broke your confidentiality agreement. I mean, or can you be sued then?
Yeah, they will try to.
Would they win?
It's all dependent on the circumstances. Obviously, if it's a criminal activity,
right?
More than likely, as long as the criminal activity that leads to the company being punished, you'll probably see no recourse. But if there is no punishment toward the company and they're only slapped on the wrist,
they're coming after your ass.
They might come out. They're going to come after that employee and take them to court because they didn't lose anything. Because see, it's not the SEC's job to defend that whistleblower. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's up for them to go get a lawyer and get a defense.
Wow. Jeez, I don't know. You know, they said SEC said, they dropped the ball on the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. You know, those guys knew what was going on.
Well, everybody knew what was going on. They were all Ponzi schemes. It's all one.
It's all one big Ponzi scheme, right?
Ponzi scheme. It truly is. It truly is. There is no other thing to call but a massive big Ponzi scheme.
Well, Rags, we got 3 minutes to our big break here at the bottom of the hour. Do you got a story that can get us through the next 3 minutes?
I had a couple here, but I'll just do the one playful one here. I will send a link about Facebook unveils. And I'll put a link in here, Jay, so you can get the real quick the photos right there from the Daily UK. That should cover our last 3 minutes. Facebook unveils its new Silicon Valley office with a 9-acre park on the roof, people.
What?
Yes.
9 acres.
9 acres. There's a picture. You can put the picture so everybody can see it up there in the video.
Holy shit.
Facebook has unveiled its enormous new office in the Silicon Valley, which is large enough to hold a 9-acre park on its roof and will house 2,800 workers in a single room. The new building in Menlo Park, California, measures 430,000 square feet and apparently has the largest open floor plan in the world. The social network's newest location was revealed by founder Mark Zuckerberg, who posted an aerial view of the building on his public page.
Look at that, folks. I've got it right now on the YouTube screen there, and it's amazing.
Look at that. That's a building. That's not a park. So you can see, you scroll down, you can see the
I think it's a great idea, though, really.
No, I have no problem. Hey, I have no problem. When you got that type of money, like all these bazillionaires do, that's green, it's environmental friendly.
Yep.
I'm all for it. Absolutely. But it's kind of amazing that when you look at the pictures, it's
yeah,
it's
you wouldn't
right
even
there.
Know that you were looking at a building, to be honest with you. If you didn't know, you would probably just think you're looking at a park, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought that was just kind of a one to throw in there that as soon as I said, holy mackerel, that's not a park. That's an actual building. That's on top of the park's on top of a building.
That's pretty awesome.
I thought that was
Facebook,
cool.
Right? Yeah, that guy, they've got so much money. They're just building for
construction of the new building wasn't far from Facebook's existing campus and will be.
I heard they moved.
Will be connected via a tunnel.
Oh, they got their own secret tunnel.
So it's interesting.
Oh, the CT world will be going crazy on that one. They've got their own secret tunnel, probably connected to the dumbs all around the world.
Plus that's a huge building. I mean, geez, you can put 2,800 people inside one of its rooms.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, folks, we're coming up on our bottom of the hour break with the news. Don't forget to subscribe to us. Visit youtube.disclosuremedia.net, and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hey, folks, we'll be back with our second half in just about 5 to 6 minutes after this news break, so we'll see you in just a few moments.
Stop the insanity of voting for the same old abusers. Declare your independence from the two-party system and join the New Hampshire Liberty Party today at nhliberty.info.
All right, folks, we are coming back here for our second half of the show. This is a redhead from Mars. Silent Partner is the artist. This is another one I like. We also had some listeners who liked this one, too, Rax.
All right, on.
Another one of the good ones out there.
Redhead from Mars.
Oh, Lord. You know, I was listening to that news break, and we were briefly talking about it in chat here, Rags. They found everyone. They found all the bodies.
Yeah, I'd like to... I don't want to know how they did it, but I don't know if I want to see how they got all the bodies, but that's just kind of an interesting...
It is. What are we,
a
week?
Crash, I mean, it looks like everybody was disintegrated into pieces.
Right, so how do you come out and say, we have found everyone? How could you possibly even know that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Well, did you? Now this story's gotten less credibility as the day has went on. But did you hear about a supposed SIM card or a memory card that was found and supposed video on it?
Now I heard that too. That was a couple days ago.
No, that was today.
Was that today? Oh, I heard it yesterday. Then it was yesterday when I heard it.
Okay, maybe it came out. Yeah, it was. All the news heads could talk about today was this video. It was this video because no one, the news organization that came out with the story, who says they've seen it, they've seen the video, they gave a detail of what was in the video. It's like a 14-second video. Basically,
but it was just somebody inside the plane. Right?
Yes, they said it was taken from the rear of the plane. You can hear people screaming, saying, oh, my God, in different languages. You could hear some banging. I'm not sure if you could actually see how much you could really see of it because they really didn't go into detail. And the Germans and the French have come out and said, no, there's no video. But I don't know. I guess it's possible if they're finding body parts and they're able to identify all 150 people, I guess you could probably find a memory card, right?
Obviously.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting. I heard that come over the wire there, and I was like, that doesn't sound... I don't know about that. I don't know how you find all the bodies, but anyway, we're going to move on with what we've got on our topics for tonight. And this is we're going to move into some the global warming, climate change, that stuff. Scientists say a new study is a death blow to global warming hysteria. New study out of Germany casts further doubt on the so-called global warming consensus by suggesting the atmosphere may be less sensitive to increases in carbon dioxide emissions than most scientists think. The study was done by Germany's Max Planck Institute for Meteorology, found that man-made aerosols had a much smaller cooling effect on the atmosphere during the 20th century than was previously thought. Who'd have thunk it? Why is this big news? Well, it means increases in carbon dioxide emissions likely cause less warming than most climate models suggest. That's right, because they're models, and you freaking mother... Ooh, about to cuss, but you guys can't even get the weather right in 3 days. What makes you think you're going to tell us what the weather is going to be like in 50 years? So, it's absurd. Anyway, what do aerosols have to do with anything? Well, aerosols are created from human activities like burning coal, driving cars, or from fires. Or from cows pooping, right? I don't know. Is that? No, probably not. It's probably not an aerosol. But anyway, that probably contributes to the climate problems. All the freaking cows. There are also natural aerosols like clouds and fog. Aerosols tend to reflect solar energy back into space, giving them a cooling effect that somewhat offsets warming from increased CO2 emissions. The study suggests that, quote, the aerosol radioactive forces is less negative and more certain than as commonly believed. In layman's terms, aerosols are offsetting less global warming than was previously thought, and if aerosols aren't causing as much cooling, it must mean carbon dioxide must be causing less warming than climate models predict. Quote, going forward, we should expect less warming from future greenhouse gas emissions than climate models are projecting. So if it's not the carbon dioxide that's causing the warming, what is it, folks? What is it? It's not global warming. It's, I would have to say it is climate change, Rags. What do you say? The climate's been changing for 3 billion years, right?
It's cow farts.
Cow farts. They're killing us.
The cow farts are killing us, man. Isn't that right? Isn't that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
I don't know. That's what I hear. this whole climate, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I do know what to say. If you notice amongst television, I'm talking sporting events, even live sporting events, all your TV series, movies, everything talks about climate change.
Oh, they're forcing it down your freaking pie hole.
They are. They are forcing it down your sphincter like there is no tomorrow.
But
I don't know what the end game is for it. I just – this huge push. And don't get me wrong. I'm not satisfied with the answers. I'm not saying that we aren't, as we grow as a population
– having some type of effect.
Having some type of effect. With that said –
there are so many other there's so many other things that could be causing the issues.
Absolutely.
They've looked at ice cores, and we have went through, quote, climate changes for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been hot, we've been cold, we've been hot, we've been cold, and, just a few decades ago, we were going to go into a new ice age. And now here, we're all going to burn up. I believe, yes, the planet itself goes through cycles.
Yeah, I do too. We're going through a cycle. It doesn't mean that we're causing it.
And I think we have very little footprint on what the climate does.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Now, you had a story, right, on this, on climate stuff?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? I thought you did.
No, I didn't.
Let me see. I could have swore you had one in there. Let's see.
No, there's nothing in there about climate.
Yeah, there it is. Congress warns UN that Obama climate.
Oh, just hold on. Okay, there's two. This is two prong.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This isn't okay. It is climate. I'm just. but that's not my thesis on this. Okay.
Okay.
Let's start off with this one that's coming from today, and I will get to the climate change. Obama declares hacking a national emergency.
Oh.
This is from the governorslaves.info.
I've seen that. Where is it at? There it is.
President Obama issued a broad and far-reaching cybersecurity, and I'm using the word executive order. So bear with me. This will relate back to climate when we get to my next topic. On Wednesday, that allows the executive branch to unilaterally financially target foreign-based hackers, regardless of any laws or extradition treaties the United States has with that country or the hacker or where the group lives in. The order empowers the State Department and Treasury Department to freeze the bank accounts and financial assets of those suspected of hacking the U.S. government or U.S. companies, of those who have sponsored hacking, and of those who use hacked information to get a competitive advantage or private financial gain. It will also allow the government to go after hackers who attack critical infrastructure such as power grid, water sanitation plants, and more. It may cause a significant disruption to the availability of a computer network, steal intellectual property, or have impacted the economic health or financial stability of the United States. Now, although the language of the order is very carefully to not specifically mention governments in the hack of the United States, that is what the order is actually about. Now, let me tell you something about this order. This order is meant for anybody, including people here in the United States. Because remember, we're using the word executive order, Jay. And, under the new cybersecurity threat. To go with that, now I will come back over to climate change. Because this is what the biggest news is. This is from the New American. Congress warns the UN that Obama's climate pledges may not be binding. Again, because what did Obama do? He's negotiating or putting executive orders.
That's what they told Iran, right?
Yep, that they're using without Congress's approval. Again, this is dated today, April 1st, from the New American. Obama's climate change pledges Obama's climate change pledges to the United Nations to slash emissions of carbon dioxide as part of a planetary global warming regime are probably illegal and can be quashed by Congress. So again, folks, you've heard us talk about a lot of executive orders by this president. I just talked about another one. Now listen to Congress. They are warning that Republican lawmakers offered the UN and foreign governments after the administration announced its unconstitutional plans this week. The White House is making grandiose promises to the UN and its largely autocratic member regimes. Billions of dollars for a UN climate fund, taxing an axe to the U.S. energy production to cut CO2 output, imposing a UN climate regime on America without the constitutionality required, ratification by the Senate, and much more. Republican lawmakers, though, citing American constitutional system of government, and congressional authority are urging foreign powers to proceed with caution before entering into any purportedly blinding deals with Obama that may not be upheld. Among those issuing stern warnings to the UN member regimes was Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Even if the job-killing and likely illegal Clean Power Plan were fully implemented, the United States could not meet the targets laid out in this proposed new plan, McConnell said in a statement. Drawing outrage from Obama officials determined to bypass American people's elected representatives and force the UN climate schemes on America by decree. Considering that two-thirds of the U.S. federal government hasn't even signed off on their plan, and the 13 that have pledged already to fight it in Congress and in law, our international partners should then proceed with caution before any binding, unattainable deal. In a statement released by McConnell's office, Obama's intended national determined contribution, INDC, to the UN was also described as unworkable. So here you go. You've got these guys basically saying whatever he's saying, don't do it because he's going to be out or we're going to overturn it.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so this is
No, go ahead.
The other one, I believe it's Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma. I believe he also, his quote-unquote was saying, you may not want to make this decision, UN, because he probably is not going to be the president next year.
That's a pretty, I hope that, I don't know if I like that comment. He probably won't be the president next year?
Well, I'm sorry, in 2016, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, that scared me there for a second there.
I'm sorry, yeah, he probably,
He almost thought maybe he slipped something
out. That's why they're earning that, you know, it's going to be, so here's the thing. These executive orders can be overturned.
Well, yeah, absolutely they can.
So that's why everything that this president is doing.
I mean, that's just like a CEO at a business. A CEO can probably make a decision, but then the next CEO can come in and change it.
Well,
the board.
That's different. That's different. The board is the final ruling, remember. Controlling interest.
Well, that's kind of like Congress. Then,
totally
right?
Different. Totally
different.
A business, a corporation, total different set of rules. Different set of rules.
Total.
In a corporation, Jay, I own 56%, and the other 80,000 people who own together the 48%, they can't outvote me.
Right.
Big difference. Hmm. Here, Congress has the decision, not the president. So that's why, yeah, with this whole climate thing that's going on, that's why I wanted to show – that's why I read the first story about the executive order, again, to keep people informed that this president seems to be nonstop on executive orders. And now with this one, but you already have McConnell, all of the Republicans coming out saying, whoa, partner. Now, the other thing that I said just real quick, too, on this, too, because the Clean Power Plan, that is something that's actually in Congress right now. And there's also 13 states that are ready to fight anything with the cuts that this administration proposes. And they're ready to go to court.
Well, I can tell you that Obama's policies have already had an effect on energy prices. I mean, they're already there. I see them in my energy bill every month.
Yeah, it's just we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, well, I don't
know.
So
there you go. So the back-to-back there for you.
Okay, well, I got one. This is sable rattling by Russia. They have threatened to use nuclear force over Crimea and the Baltic states. They warned that the same conditions that prompted it to take military action in Ukraine exist in the three Baltic states, all members of NATO, according to notes made by an American at a meeting between Russia generals and U.S. officials, as seen by the Times newspaper. Moscow threatened a spectrum of responses, from nuclear to non-military, if NATO moved more forces into Lithuania, Latvia, oh, no, I'm not sure I'm going to mess that up, and Estonia. The Russians told the meeting, which took place in Germany last month, that an attempt to return Crimea to Ukraine would be met with forcefully including through the use of nuclear force. And they said if NATO sent arms to Ukraine, this would be seen as further encroachment by NATO to the Russian border. And, quote, the Russian people would demand a forceful response. Now, this just seems like it's just getting more and more crazy up there. They added that the same conditions that existed in Ukraine and caused Russia to take action there existed in the three Baltic states, which likely Ukraine have significant numbers of people who regard themselves as ethnically Russian. Russia was considering taking steps in the Baltics, according to the notes, but this would most likely be destabilizing actions that would be even harder to trace back to Russia than those of eastern Ukraine. The notes also suggest Moscow would avoid injections of troops and heavy weapons in favor of other tools. Quote, Russia would hope slowly to entice those Russian populations towards Russia without giving NATO a pretext to deploy troops, the document adds. If NATO then responded, that would make it a, quote, potential co-aggressor against Russia-speaking minorities in Baltic states. A situation described as potentially more dangerous than that in Ukraine to the United States. So what do you think about this one, Rags? This is pretty, I mean, they're threatening everyone. At least that's what we're being told. You know, that's the storyline.
Yeah, right? You know, I'd like to, right now, I don't think they can actually move anywhere. I mean, I shouldn't say they can, because they're in the Baltics. Their line in the sand is Ukraine, and that's it. Because of, one, there's a lot of resources with coming with Ukraine. Ocean front on the Black Sea, gas situation to Europe, strategically located for both a southern and northern approach to Europe, and to the southern states, meaning to the, down to Turkey and so forth. So there's a lot of resources there for, I don't see him. Everything else is saber rattling.
I'd have
not that
to
they
agree.
Couldn't do it, but they, cause they very, they have the pieces in place. But when we, but the only way to tell is just like we said, once they start to move an armored division toward another section, that's when you'll know that they're being serious, or a division or whatever. They move a battalion somewhere, then it's on like Donkey Kong.
Wow. Well, I don't know. It's pretty, you know, they keep building up for things, and I don't know if we're going to have World War III tomorrow or 10 years from now. I don't know.
Cold War, baby. Cold War lasts for a long time.
Yes,
long
it did.
Long time.
So,
Cold War.
I think we got enough time to cover this. I think it's probably going to take the last 5 minutes that we have, Rags. And I wanted you to talk about that, the Indiana anti-gay law, why it's different from the other states' freedom laws.
Yeah, we talked about this last night. We've we've had it on the website there, disclosuremedia.net. You know, obviously the big brouhaha around the country has been Indiana's anti-gay, or should say they're more, how should they, it's a religious freedom law, but it's a little bit more a little bit more powerful than some of the other states that have the exact same.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that this is not the exact same.
Yeah, it's not the exact same.
And Kentucky just signed a bill too. I don't know if you've seen that in the news.
Yeah. I'll get to that here in a second. The one thing about this too is even NASCAR came out today.
Oh, I know. I've seen
that. There's another one that jumped on board. You know, NASCAR is a bunch of Christians.
Oh yeah.
So also, you know, they agree with that. But NASCAR is a corporation.
Right.
Big difference.
Yeah, big difference.
Big difference.
They have to come out, right?
I can guarantee you this much. Their fans would tell the NASCAR CEOs to take a flying leap.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, they should, but they, you know, it pisses me off when corporations stick their noses into issues like this. Really, for me, I just don't think they should even bother. I think they should let the actual folks, the actual real people, voice their opinions, and not some multi-billion-dollar NASCAR. Because I'm sure, like you just said, you know, majority of those people wouldn't want freaking NASCAR coming out and condemning them. You know, a comedian that I go to, he was, you know, debating whether he should go to Indiana or boycott him. I'm like, don't boycott him. What about the people? They had nothing to do with that law. You know what I'm saying?
Here.
Don't punish people because of some idiots. Anyway,
well,
go ahead.
Here's the story right here. Here's the difference, folks, so you can understand what the difference is. So supporters of the Indiana's controversial religious freedom law have insisted their statute is really no different from similar ones adopted in other states. However, there are several key differences in the Indiana law that make it more discriminatory. That's the key word, discriminatory. Religious Freedom Restoration Acts adopted in other states have focused on disputes between an individual or organization and the government. For example, they might provide that a state can't prohibit or incarcerate Muslims to have short beards or stop church groups from feeding the homeless. That's not the case with Indiana's law, which explicitly applies to disputes between private citizens, according to Judge Lagoon at the Think Progress. He says this means that it can be used as a cudgel by corporations to justify discrimination against individuals that might otherwise be protected under law. Indiana trial lawyer Matt Anderson says the Indiana law is more broadly written than its federal and state predecessors and opens up the path of least resistance among its species to a court of adjudicated in a manner that could ultimately be used to discriminate. So Anderson points out the legislation does not define religion, allowing for broad interpretations of any exercise of religion. He also notes that any action which may fall under the exercise of religion may not be compelled by or central to a system of religious belief. In other words, even if the belief is at the fringe of what a religion may or may not hold true, it falls under the definition of exercising one religion. So that's pretty much it as work goes out. They're taking it a little bit above the next level.
It sounds like it, but I'm still confused with the law. I mean, it's illegal to discriminate.
It's already illegal to discriminate.
So from what I understood, the law was put in place to protect businesses from being sued if they, you know, if a religious person said that they didn't want to serve someone because they're gay, or like the lady who decided not to bake the cake. For the gay couple, and
yeah, for the
she
gay couple.
She
yeah.
lost her business and everything. I mean,
yes, she did.
The free market took care of that, right?
Yep.
I mean, she refused business and it hurt her. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I guess that's what I heard. This law was put in to protect those businesses that get sued. So, I don't know, right?
Because I think that because they need to redefine the law. See, that's the whole problem. Is what they did is they used the Religious Freedom Restoration Acts. Adopted by others, so what it is, because there's a federal one and there's state ones.
Yep. Hey, folks, we're coming up here towards the end of the show. Don't forget to subscribe to us at youtube.disclosuremedia.net. You can find us on facebook.com/disclosuremedia. We'll be back again tomorrow at the same time, 11 o'clock, and folks, have a great night.
See ya!